Here we go. Hour two, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. And we do have the Rangers Player Show coming up here in about 20 minutes. Ezekiel Durant is going to join us, a hero of sorts here of recent times. So we're excited to talk with him about his game-winning hits. His All-Star candidacy, guys. All-Star voting is underway tomorrow. I have been informed we are expecting that Zeke Durant's going to be on the ballot, as he very well should be, hitting 299, getting it done. Here's Wolchuk with your football fix.
All right, perfect. Let's go ahead and get to it. There's a new award out there and jersey numbers after this.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Wrong side!
Left side!
Wrong side!
Left side!
I use these for acid indigestion.
So what are we going to use these for?
Intimidation.
You know I got to get my fix, man.
All right, the latest on Josh Sweat. Now, Easton Butler, who is a writer for the Green Bay Packers, and he's a guy with like a decent following, but he's been really on the buzz here with the Josh Sweat stuff. And I got to give him credit because he actually was pretty on before it was widely reported of what Myles Garrett was getting traded for and who he was getting traded to, plus the A.J. Brown trade, that it was still getting done. He was correct yesterday. So I'm starting to give him a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt on this. He's hearing that the Cardinals are asked, their asking price for Josh Sweat is a second, or it's a third plus a day three pick. They're also wanting the Green Bay Packers to up their offer. So yesterday, that was the big talking point, was Green Bay really starting to get hot on the Josh Sweat trade, and then that might have fizzled and fallen apart. He also is reporting the Cowboys reached out, nothing happened, and the two teams that Josh Sweat would like to go to, if it's not Green Bay because he wants to go and reunite with Jonathan Gannon there, is maybe going back to Philadelphia. So if Green Bay falls, we do know Filthy was already getting in on the Myles Garrett sweepstakes. Do they pivot and go after Josh Sweat? And now you've got Sweat and you've got Jonathan Grenard, who they've traded for. And now they've got a pretty good edge rush group.
That would be nauseating. He was pretty good for them in the Super Bowl and in their playoff run. So that'd be tough. There's no indication he wants to come to the Cowboys. It's Green Bay or Philly.
Those are Thomas R. Peterson, who covers the Eagles as well and writes for Bleacher Report, has put out that he does think that those are his top two options. So I don't know that he doesn't want to come to Dallas. I have not seen that reported at all, but at least maybe he'd prioritize Green Bay and Filthy before Dallas. But I'd love Dallas to get into the mix here. I still think you need a plethora of good pass rushers, and he'd probably be the best one on your roster.
I mean, the point is to try to get edge rushers without having to give them more than $25 million.
Yeah, his contract's a bargain right now.
You can do that. Like, we were just talking about Jalen Brunson. One of the reasons that the Knicks have been able to build such a good roster, he took $100 million less in this salary cap game, no matter what the sport is. How many guys you can get that can perform at the near the top of their position for half of market value?
Yeah.
So it's just a golden opportunity. It should be everything the Cowboys want. You know, this is their range, under $20 million impact players like Rashawn Gary, Jalen Thompson. This should be your lane, Cowboys. So hopefully they can shake it up. But I feel like if they were intending to, we would have definitely heard it by now.
Yeah, we got a new episode of Love of the Star up. Brian and I recorded that today, so go ahead and check that out. Love of the Star is an Odyssey podcast you can find on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. We kicked around the Josh Sweat topic a little bit, and I kind of feel, guys, I don't know if you agree, but just kind of going by our coverage of the Cowboys and knowing how this team operates, I think they feel good about what they've got right now, and they'll reassess it once they get out onto the fields with the pads on and Oxnard. And then maybe we start to hear, okay, they're working out some veteran corners behind us. They're working out some veteran linebackers, whatever the position group might be. But I just don't see a ton of new additions between now and when this team flies out to report to training camp.
Yesterday, while I was gone, I was able to talk about the, you know, were they in on the Garrett? And I got no, not at all on that one. And then just asking about this to a couple of different people, and I know you were talking about the credentials of the gentleman mm-hmm. that was reporting this. I got that they weren't in on this one either, on the Josh Sweat stuff.
Kind of hurts to hear, but yeah. It's not a surprise.
Yeah, so that would be news to them is where they're at on that one.
They like their guys, and they'll go after the aged-out veteran for a workout in Oxnard. Just like you said, Wolchuk, that's where they're at. And then hopefully at the trade deadline, if they're rocking and rolling, then they'll cook something up.
Yeah, I'd like to believe that maybe that they might add a linebacker, though. That might be a possibility.
Via trade?
I think more or less probably a signing
Yeah.
A signing.
Yeah, and I think so too. I don't know that it'll happen. I think it'll happen when we're in August.
Yeah. Well, I would bet that this one might happen before camp.
Okay.
We'll, just keep an eye on that one.
All right.
How good?
Oh, I'm just hearing that
like a starter or like a depth piece.
I'm just hearing that they're looking that route.
Okay.
Oh, I think they've got to be. They need another linebacker. Yeah. I just wonder, to your point, is it going to be somebody that can move the needle?
Better than D Winters?
Is it legit somebody that can start?
Well, to get better than D Winters, I think you're going to have to trade.
Yeah, yeah. That would be
Yeah, I think we're looking at some free agents here.
Yeah. And that's, I hope they
do. Okay, Wagner.
Yeah, that kind
of Milano.
Yeah.
We'll see on those guys. Okay, congratulations to Derek Hall. Seattle has agreed to a 3-year, $42 million extension with the defensive end, who is also an outside linebacker. He ended up playing really well in the postseason for them. They're starting to pay guys. Devin Witherspoon is the next guy up. They just gave JSN that big contract. Now they've got Derek Hall locked up, $21 million guaranteed. His story is pretty damn incredible. Derek Hall is one of these guys that when he was born at just 23 weeks early, so he was a big time preemie, he was born with no heartbeat. Doctors told his mom he only had a 1% chance of survival, and despite all that, dude's a fighter. They took him off life support. He was able to go ahead. Was big,
start breathing,
incredible. Yeah, I mean, stayed obviously in the NICU, but then went home. An amazing story. Now look at him. I mean, $42 million he just signed for and is an NFL player. So
that's fantastic.
It is. That's really, really cool. Congratulations to him and his entire family today. Now, A.J. Brown has made his first appearance in a New England Patriot uniform. He was out there at practice today. The report is he's going to wear number 1. Now, why? Well, he's chosen to wear number 1 instead of 11, according to Mike Rice of ESPN, because he wants to respect Julian Edelman. Even though he had Edelman's blessing, he wants to go back to his roots of wearing number 1, which I believe is what he wore at Ole Miss. So, respect to Jules. Edelnut?
Hey, that's a Patriots Hall of Famer.
Absolutely it is. And here was A.J. Brown. He caught up with Maria Taylor. And what is Maria Taylor going to ask him about? Well, what the hell happened between you and Jalen Hurts? So here was the conversation and the answer before we get to a little toxic Tuesday of the real rumors as to what went down. This is AJ's perspective.
Not as close as we once were. And I believe that's fine. It's like there's no bad blood. There's actually still a lot of love. I love him. I love him. I want him to succeed and accomplish all the things that he wants to accomplish. I didn't truly understand why our friendship became the public of the center of everybody's attention when it came to football, because, looking back on it, we haven't been as close as we were a couple years now, but that didn't stop anything. Mm-hmm. We still competed, we still pushed each other, we still led the team. So it's just kind of strange, people just got so fixated on the relationship and wanted to talk about maybe from the history mm-hmm. of this place, but that wasn't what this was. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say it to you. I'm gonna say it on camera. I got nothing but love for him. I want him to do well and accomplish everything that his heart desires. So, mm-hmm.
I think at the end of the day, people always just want to know why, and there's an understanding that people grow apart. What is the best way that you can put a description so people can understand?
Yeah, nothing happened. Nothing happened. People just grow apart. Nothing didn't happen between me and him or our families, wives, anything. Mm-hmm. Nothing like that ever happened. But life happens. You just look up sometimes and you find yourself drifting away, and that's fine. And I think both parties accepted that.
You're apart. Nothing happened. Still loves him. Hopes he can accomplish everything he wants to accomplish. Well, are you guys ready for a little conspiracy theory?
Absolutely. I thought his choice of words was very interesting.
Ooh,
there.
Is this Eagles the massage therapist fans. Thing?
Oh, yeah. So here
this
we go.
Wild.
There is a conspiracy theory about A.J. Brown, Hassan Reddick, Jalen Hurts, and a massage therapist side chick that is gaining traction among Eagles fans. So according to this, both Brown and Hassan Reddick were allegedly seeing the same massage therapist romantically, although without A.J. Brown's knowledge. A third player, which is identified as QB1. Jalen Hurts reportedly knew about this overlapping relationship but chose not to tell A.J. Brown. Brown allegedly then found out that Hurts knew but didn't say anything, and he felt betrayed by that action. The source of the theory characterizes Brown as having a sense of blind loyalty that ultimately serves his own interests, and suggests that situation is what created the lasting tension in the locker room throughout the 2023 season.
So Hurts knew that that Brown was Eskimo Bros with a teammate and didn't tell him?
Like they're seeing the same girl at the same time and doesn't say anything to him.
Okay, that's not the conspiracy theory I was expecting, but no. I mean that's...
And then he felt burned by it. And Hassan Reddick obviously was traded and then didn't do anything.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's some of the rumors that are out there. I mean, there had to be something.
Yeah, yeah, you don't just...
It's not just like, oh, we grew apart.
Yeah, you're with each other every day, and your jobs are directly involved with one another. So there's not just some drifting apart, and this is all bygones, bygones. Something clearly happened.
I mean, the most obvious thing to me would be, I'm a star wide receiver that wants the football, and the league figured out that my guy can't read zone defense. So that's going to create tension at practice, just like it did with... all kinds of quarterbacks and wide receivers in NFL history, most notably Russell Wilson, you know, where his teammates didn't like him even after they'd won the Super Bowl together because they knew he wasn't that good, you know. And it, when you're dealing with a player who's not that good, that's not just affecting like this play or you, it's affecting our ability to win and go get more Super Bowls and be a multi-time champion. So That's possible, but I mean, it does seem like there's a lot of conversation about the triangle around Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown, and ladies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other one was that AJ Brown was having an extramarital affair. Jalen Hurts knew, told his wife, who then told AJ Brown's fiance. Or whatever.
Yeah.
So AJ Brown, is mad at Jalen Hurts for not keeping that under wraps.
Yeah. I mean, something along those lines would make a ton of sense to me.
Yeah.
And it probably goes back to, you know, a lady in some way, shape, or form. A little side action there for AJ Brown. Allegedly, of course, you're on a Toxic Tuesday. Now, Myles Garrett's going to rock the 95, so Puna Ford is very ready to give that up for Myles Garrett there in L.A., and that's already been announced. I don't know what Puna Ford's going to switch to, but he's like, hell yeah, bring it on, of course, when you're going to have Myles Garrett. And the Aaron Donald stuff's not going away, man. Michael Brockers, former teammate, hinting, I have some knowledge that others might not have. My guy is staying ready so he doesn't have to get ready, said Michael Brockers. I think we'll get more into that with Eric during Football's Finest. There's another
Pat McAfee text?
Yeah, there's another layer to that.
Nice.
With
but
Aaron
you also
Donald.
Have his wife doing the Instagram thing where he's snoozing and she's just like videoing him being like, clearly this is not a guy who wants to do anything other than enjoy retirement.
Yeah.
So, but maybe she's trying to knock the scent off a little bit.
Maybe. Okay. Maybe she's rooting against it.
That's true.
You're going to get hurt, Aaron.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't do it, Aaron.
Or you're going to hurt somebody else, Aaron.
Could have been a recovery nap, you know, because he just been working out for 3 hours.
Todd Monken, in regards to Brendan Sorsby, are they going to put in a claim for him in the supplemental draft? I don't think we're in a position to want to go down that road. That's my opinion. That's not the GM's. I like the quarterbacks we have. I think that's a slippery slope when you go down that irrespective of talent, right? In terms of that situation he's put himself in, we all know what that is. He put himself in that situation. We've seen in other sports with players that have been banned for life from playing in professional sports. But from my end, it's kind of a tough angle to go down that road, and I think that's going to be your franchise quarterback if he's ever eligible to play in the NFL. So it doesn't sound like Todd Monken would be greenlighting from his point. Cleveland being aggressive in pursuing Brendan Sorsby. And we'll catch up with Ari Temkin, get more on the tech side of that coming up at 4:20.
Right on. Thank you, Chief. Okay, we got to step aside because it's time now for the Rangers player show. Thank you, Wolchuk.
No, I appreciate it, dude.
Golly. We're coming back with Ezekiel Duran, Rangers player show on the Fan. All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan, and it is time now for the Rangers player show here on your home of the Rangers. Pre-game's coming up at 6 o'clock in St. Louis. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. And yes, sir, the Rangers player show.
Brought to you by Golden Chick and Globe Life. For over 125 years, Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. All right, so here he is, Rangers Player of the Month for May. Last night, he was 3-for-4 with a double and a ribby in a Rangers 2-1 win. He is a 2023 World Series champion. All-star voting begins tomorrow. He's expected to be on the ballot. Ezekiel Duran joining you now here on The Fan. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Hey, sir. How you doing?
Doing wonderful. Thanks. Having a lot of fun watching you play. So I want to thank you on behalf of Rangers fans here on The Fan. You've been doing a hell of a job. How's it feel up there?
I feel amazing. I feel blessed.
What are your keys to keeping it going, you think, for the rest of the summer?
Yeah, the key is putting everything on God's hands and keep trusting.
Very nice. A God guy. Fans are going to love that. Yeah. How much would it mean for you to be an all-star, Zeke?
Yeah, that's going to be a great feeling, you know. Every baseball player wants to be in the all-star game too, so it's going to be fun.
You've been incredible right now when it comes to inside the box. You've been on fire lately. What's clicked for you at the plate? How are you seeing the ball right now?
Yeah, I'm working a lot. I'm working in the cage with the hitting coach, approach, and everything. You know, we're making approach before the game, and we're making an adjustment during the game too, trying to hit him the ball hard to the middle.
Skip has talked to us about everyday Zeke, and right now you're getting that opportunity, unfortunately, due to some injuries, to play every day, but I think that you've earned that everyday role. How important is consistency and consistent playing time to your success, Zeke?
¿Cómo te gusta que el trabajo que estás haciendo, que la consistencia de ustedes, que cómo tú eres la competencia que te metes?
Yeah, I would be happy if I'm in the lineup every day. I'm going to play hard every time. Yeah, I'm happy to be in the field every single day.
What's the key to when you don't play? It seems like you're always in a great mood in the dugout, Zeke.
Yeah, I'm trying. If I'm not playing, I'm trying to bring my energy in the dugout, you know, with making laugh every time, with bring my energy to every player in the lineup and getting ready every time.
Where does walk-off game-winning hit, how was that Saturday night against the Royals to be able to do that final at bat of the game, you guys win? What was that like for you? Was that the first time you'd done that in the big leagues?
Yeah, this is my first one in the big league, and that was amazing. You know, when I was in the batting box, I was trying to kill the ball in my first swing. But after, I'm just saying, like, don't try to get big. Don't try to be a hero. Just take a good pitch and make a good swing. You know, that was an amazing day. And, you know, that was a great feeling.
What's your favorite position to play in the field defensively?
Yeah, and the lineup. If I'm playing, that's my favorite.
Well, DeGrom got win number 100 last night. What's it like to play behind him and some of the other pitchers on staff?
You know, that's amazing. It's amazing. He's a great pitcher. He's a great guy, too. And that's fun to see that guy making 100 wins. It's not easy. And that's really fun.
Did you help give him a beer shower after the game last night?
For sure.
Ezekiel Duran here with you, Rangers Player Show. Which, like, veteran teammate has helped you the most through the ups and downs of trying to establish yourself?
I
say everybody, you know, everybody trying to support every players, you know. It's like we trying to help us. You know, we are a team. We are a good teammate. We got great guys in the clubhouse, and that's amazing.
Ezekiel Duran, the Rangers Player Show, thank you so much for your time, sir. And we like to say, give them hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Oh, thank you. That's my pleasure.
Take care. There he goes. Rangers Player Show brought to you by Golden Chick and by Globe Life. For over 125 years, Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. When Corey Seager went down, we talked about how they need role players to step up. And I think Zeke Duran has been as good of an example as that as anybody. Obviously, Osuna has been big and He got on again last night. The new second baseman, Lopez. I mean, they've done a really nice job elevating their game around the absence of their two biggest hitters. And if it's not for Zeke, this four-game winning streak is, probably not alive right now.
No, it's not possible. He's been absolutely consistent, and I think Josh Young's been their most consistent hitter this year. Duran is number two for them, and I think that he's Wally Pipp, Josh Smith. And I think Smitty, when he's back, goes back to the role that Zeke's in now that we've seen Smitty have success in as that utility guy, and Ezekiel Duran's your starting second baseman.
Him or Jock Peterson? The way if you would say, I know he was the player of the month for May.
Yeah.
Both of them have been so huge.
Yeah, and look,
if you had to say one or the other.
I'd go Zeke because I think defensively what he's brought to the table, short, second, and field. He threw somebody out from, I think he was playing left field during the series against Kansas City. But Jock did have the game winner last night. But I'd give the nod to Duran over Jock. But I think, Jock Peterson and Josh Young bouncing back this year are two of the biggest storylines.
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine what their record would be if those two things weren't happening right now? How miserable we would be. We're just a couple of games from 500 once again with the pregame coming up at 6 o'clock. Things I'm wondering about OTAs, gentlemen. Brian, I don't know if you saw it or you heard it, but last night in the Football's Finest, we talked about Ted Wynn's article updating where the Cowboys are in this journey to, turn over their DC and hopefully become at least an average defense. And I think one of the cautionary tales in that article, guys, for me was him talking about Deron Bland and Kobe Durant. Bland gave up the fifth most yards on explosive plays in zone last year. I think that was the stat.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Kobe Durant is a player that will probably raise the floor. But, Ted made the point that the Rams moved on from him because they wanted to build a championship secondary. So if your goal is championship secondary, a team that knows their way to the Super Bowl has decided that, one of your better free agent signings is somebody they should go without. So I think going into the OTAs and how many corners the Cowboys have, I think it's 11 or 12 of their 90 players. Where could some of these guys emerge? Like, is it Revel in year two or Devin Moore? But if it's not Bland and Durant, how would you handicap it? Or who are the guys to be optimistic about maybe saying, hey, my brain works. I can do this zone stuff. You might not have heard much about me, but I'm good to go.
I kind of feel like, though, to me, and one of the questions I was going to ask you guys at 3:40 was about the expectations of a year two leap. And I actually put him in the category of when you start to talk about Booker, when you talk about Ezeraku, and you talk about Revel. And to me, the question was going to be, of those guys, who's the guy that might not have the year two leap? Who's the guy? And I think if you look at that, to me, when you ask the question about Revel, he's the guy that probably has the least known about him.
He's got the most to prove.
Yeah, he's got the most to prove, but he's also one of these guys too that and I'm guilty of this. I think he's an incredible player. I saw that guy at East Carolina. But I'm also a little bit like, I'm not too sure right now. Is the knee brace going to be fine? Is his knee going to be fine? Has he been working out? Is he, how's the transitions been for him to kind of work on his craft and stuff like that? I think he's the cornerback that has the most questions about him. He's the guy that can honestly be the boom or the bust. You could be like, wow, look at this guy. Full health, full camp, full confidence, all that stuff. But right now, he's the guy that has the most questions. And I know we were talking about, guys like Butler and others that,
Carson
that we're not talking a whole hell of a lot about. But man, this Revel could be the guy that when it's all said and done, they were like, okay, all he needed was this offseason. But also there's that side too where people are like, Broadus, you're blowing smoke. Mm. You're blowing smoke right now. This guy, he is what he is. He's not going to get any better. I don't believe that. But
he's that bad, I think there's lingering knee stuff. He's going to be the ACL that wasn't right on the other side of it.
That it didn't work out.
Yeah.
That it didn't work out that way. But he's the guy that when it's, like I say, when we get out of training camp, it's like, damn, he needs to be playing more, or he needs to be a starter, or he needs to, you know, boy, coming out of camp, he was one of our best guys in camp.
I did wonder how much Kalen Carson played zone in college, and I guess that's a project to go look back on. But yeah, obviously,
quite a bit.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. At Wake Forest.
He's played like two good games for the Cowboys, and then like a bunch of them where it's like, oh my goodness, what is he doing out there? What a total scheme change.
Yeah.
You know, put him in a better position to have more good games. And then Devin Moore, you know, the fourth rounder who said when he was drafted, if I'd been healthy, I might be the best corner in this draft. And if, you know, if that's a schematic fit and he stays healthy, I think there's some hope. Revel year two and a rookie showing up who stays healthy that is designed and scouted by this actual coaching staff.
I think we're holding our breath on Bland, too. You know, I mean, we're hopeful that the foot is something that just talking to some people over there, he's not going to do much for the OTAs, minicamp things, but training camp, he should be ready to go. But they have clearly a lot of questions. I feel like we've been talking about the cornerbacks maybe more than any other position group here.
Yeah.
You know, it's leading up. I mean,
since it was so bad last year and you've got so many injury questions.
Right. Right.
I mean, with enough respect that I know you asked us this question last week, Brian, and maybe I was too dumb to think about it thoroughly through or not informed enough, as I'm sure the text will jump all over. But, you know, after reading what Ted said yesterday, he made the point that corner is their biggest problem.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, really, is it? Is it a bigger problem than linebacker or edge? But because of the fits and the you know, the Deron Bland stat that he had, I do think Deron Bland could be a really good player again in this league, but maybe it's just going to have to be for a different team. But I'll end with this, because I started it with let's be optimistic about corner. Fangio runs a lot of man on third down. So can you survive in zone on first and second if you're Deron Bland, get to third where you can do your thing? And is Christian Parker going to copy that template?
Yeah, I think that I will say this. I think we're really into connecting the dots, and I'm interested to see if this guy takes elements of what he's learned but tries to find his own way.
Yeah.
That, like, when you think, well, man, he's going to be just like Vic Fangio, and he's going to da-da-da-da. And maybe that's not going to be his case. You know, him, Mike Elko, those guys, you know, like, they are – he's probably going to take elements of everything that he's learned.
Yeah.
And say, but he's got a whole new staff too. He's got guys that he's brought in, and they're like, "Bro, you can't do that."
But
that's where the adjustments come.
Yeah,
that's where all of a sudden it's like, and then the Ted Wins and these guys that all watch tape during the year are like, well, they're not playing the same thing.
Yeah, added this wrinkle.
He's added this. He's added that.
I think the post-snap disguising is something that he's really going to be big on. And I mentioned that yesterday. I wonder if you agree, Brian.
Yeah, no, I do. I think he is going to try and create his own defense here. I think he's heard enough about, and he's even come out and said, no, this is the Dallas Cowboys team. This isn't. So to me,
a lot of guys are saying that. I feel like that might have come from this symposium that they do, or this forum for the up-and-coming coaches.
Right.
What's that called?
Coaches Academy.
I think they're all being told, have your own identity.
Right.
You know, because that is an important thing. You don't want to just be a robot that's copying Fangio. You want everybody in the media to be talking about how you've done your own thing. Because that's a consistent talking point with Patrick Graham and the Steelers right now. It's like, oh no, we're using our own language and this is our defense. It's not that we're borrowing from anybody else. So, you know, to me, that's like branding or marketing on who I am as a guy. I don't want Fangio to get credit for this. Mm-hmm. So if I keep saying Fangio's name, he's going to get all the credit for me turning this thing around.
Right.
And I don't think it's the best interest of the upward trajectory of a career that these guys want. But we do have Krusty's Corner coming up next. Brian, where are you taking
it? Yeah, I do have some questions for my guys talking about this roster some more. We'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Rangers pregame's coming up at 6 o'clock as they look for a fifth in a row. Sans is going to join us in 1 hour to sort of set the scene for us. Ari Temkin, Big 12 Radio, coming up at 4:20 to talk Soresby and college football.
maybe some women's national championship softball. Yep. I know Red Raiders are fired about that. Same with the Longhorns. What a day yesterday. All right, it's time now, though, for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. Here's the king.
Hey, hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Always appreciate you playing that. And thank you to Greystone for being a part of this one as well. I had somebody on Twitter X ask me a question. And the question was about, are there defenses that statistically are really poor during the year and bounce back the next year? You know, what kind of, you know, and usually it is the case. But and if you go back to 2021 through 2025, I know it's a small little sample size.
Mm-hmm.
There's only been 3 teams that got worse from one year to the next. So, you know, with your hope, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, that, oh, wait, there's a big jump, or they're much better than being. If you just do it, I personally like to look at points allowed. That's kind of my thing. But if you just do yards, you know, statistically last year, Dallas in yards allowed was not in the bottom 5. But if you think about points and big plays and
red
stuff,
zone defense, explosives.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Third down defense.
Exactly. There are a lot of other things that, but I mentioned there's only 3 teams that have gotten worse, that got worse over that time period from 2021 to 2025. And I'll just, the Minnesota Vikings, just to go back, the Minnesota Vikings in 2021 allowed 383 yards a game, which was the 30th worst in the league. In 2022, they fell to 31, where they went back-to-back years of being
awful.
Awful. The Detroit Lions did the same thing. They went from 29th, averaging 379 yards. A game given up to statistically the worst defense giving up yards in the National Football League.
Wow.
Consistency.
Consistency. And then if you go back to it, and it hadn't happened before, it hasn't happened, you know, like from that period of 2021 to 2022, we didn't have anything from 23 to 24. It was the 25 group, the 2024 to 2025. The Indianapolis Colts went from the 29th worst defense to the worst defense.
So did you look at like the worst defenses in the NFL and if they got worse?
Yeah, I did. I like, for example, like this is what's amazing. In 2021, if I would have told you yards allowed by a defense, right? That's what I'm, there's a lot of other categories we could go through, but if you just go through yards allowed, how about these names? Seattle was number 28 for the worst defense in the league. Detroit.
You needed to get Pete Carroll out of there.
Detroit, 29. Minnesota, 30. We've mentioned them. Houston was 31. And the New York Jets were 32. Go to 2022. Houston was 28th. Slight improvement from... You think about Houston today, you would say Houston's never had a bad defense.
Hell, they needed to draft Will Anderson, Derek Stingley.
Yeah,
you know, get those guys. There.
Bring in Danielle Hunter.
Yeah, yeah. Houston, kind of like what Dallas is trying to do. I mean, we're trying to make it just a big swing at it. But Houston was 28th, Chicago 29th, Atlanta 30th, Minnesota, we mentioned them, they were 31, and Detroit was 32. If you go to 2023, bottom 5 again on yards, Arizona was 28th, the Giants were 29th, the Chargers were 30th, Cincinnati was 31, and the Commanders were 32 for your worst defenses.
Shout out to Dan Quinn and Jesse Minter.
Yeah, how about that? In 2024, this is when you get Dallas. Dallas was 28th in the league, giving up 355 yards a game. Indy was 29th. The Saints were 30th. Jacksonville, 31st.
Mm.
Carolina, 32. then we get to the final year of the study here was, again, the Giants. They were 28th, Arizona 29th, Baltimore 30, Pittsburgh 31, that's and shocking. Indy 32. There were some teams that's shocking.
Yeah, Pittsburgh that you, and Baltimore.
That you think would that play a lot better defense than that, but giving up way, way, way too many yards. So it could happen. We could get big. Adjustments. You could get the defense
volatility
playing a lot better. Yeah, a lot better. So there's only a few teams that have gone from a bad number to a worse number. So that would be your thing.
What do you think it would look like if the Cowboys actually were worse, other than injuries? Oh, is it possible?
I don't know how you can.
I really don't think it is.
Okay, good. Yeah, I really don't think it is. And look, for the Cowboys, you got to look as recently as 20-21. Mike Nolan's defense, Dan Quinn comes in the next year. If you just want to go on points, Brian,
yeah,
they were 28th in points allowed in 2020 under Mike Nolan. The following season, DQ's first year, they were 5th.
Turnovers, right? They created those turnovers.
And then also pass rush helped. But,
yeah,
I mean, that's right there is what you're hoping for this year, that kind of discrepancy.
That year might have been the finest coaching job we've seen on defense for the Cowboys in a long time.
All right, I'm going to ask you guys this question. And this kind of made me think about what the Rams are doing, right? If you were a team, and this the with the kind of the Rams in thought, because they're the ones that seem to do it more than anybody else, maybe wrong about this, but would you rather be good at hitting mid-round picks or trading for or signing the right guy? Would you rather be good at hitting mid-round picks, building a team, or trading for and signing the right guy?
I'll take option A, guys. I think if you're doing that, I might not have to trade or sign anybody, you know, other than the guys I picked. If I'm hitting rounds 3, 4, 5 consistently, we have a huge advantage.
I'm with you. And
so
also,
much cheap labor.
Yeah, cheap labor, and it also allows you to stay aggressive. Like, even if I miss on some of those guys that I trade for, I'm now recouping my roster based on hitting on these mid-round guys. So I think it's allowed the Rams to really lean into the strategy.
They don't seem like that they really – and I thought maybe they didn't have confidence drafting first-round players.
They've been great.
But where people get terrified in the NFL is they feel like they could draft the first-rounders. They don't feel like they could draft the mid-rounders. Does it make sense?
Yeah, you're just hoping to get lucky.
The Rams are the complete opposite of that. They're like, yeah, we'll just give away all our picks. Yeah. They're so good at evaluating those mid-round picks that they can afford to give away picks, the top picks. I mean, they've had, what, 3 times they've picked a quarterback?
They've taken Todd Gurley, Jared Goff, Jared Verse since 2016. With their three, since 2015.
Most teams are terrified of not picking high or in the first round of a draft. They're like, we got a better shot at getting players.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Rams.
No.
They're the complete opposite of that. They'd be willing to give away their first round pick in order to be able, like, okay, we'll get a guy we know. We'll get a top guy we know.
So we'll get Ramsey.
And then we'll go draft the rest of the pieces around that.
If you needed a reminder, I feel like the last couple of months has proven the Rams are the best organization in football.
Yeah.
Do they take over from Philly?
I would say the Rams are slightly better than the Eagles, yes. Yeah, I agree. And look, I'm giving Howie Roseman a lot of credit for what he's just done with this A.J. Brown thing. I mean, to me, it's crazy. We're having the conversations we are about George Pickens and how the Cowboys can't get a one for him. And I get it. There's other elements to that. But A.J. Brown, who was traded for a 1-3 4 years ago, the Eagles just flipped him for a 1-5 yesterday. That's wild.
It's like Ferrari value right there. Yeah.
Yeah, both are doing a hell of a job. I feel like the Rams are better at quarterback. You know, Howie believed in Wentz, and he believed in Jalen Hurts. And I'll give him credit for using a sledgehammer to build a good enough roster around those guys to win. But I'd prefer to be a fan of the Rams.
Yeah, I'm in that mode now. I think that maybe the Rams have taken over as that front office group that we really, really admire. I think Cowboy fans wish that the Cowboys front office was the Rams front office.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
100%. And the Cowboys issue has really kind of been in the middle rounds, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they've struggled, especially at certain positions, mainly. Like offensive line, they haven't really hit the mid rounds. Biadasz might be one that you could look at.
Yeah, I would take a lot of front offices, obviously, over the Cowboys. It'd be interesting to find how many I wouldn't. Like, how many front offices would you not trade the Jones boys and Will McClay for? Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner brought to you by Greystone Roofing. We got two down, two to go. Chief, what is next?
Sports Hodgepodge, the greatest sideline report in sports history. Plus, we prep our bodies for the finals next year in the nation.